All right, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back. Sunshine McNeil is going to join us, talk a little hockey, get you some plays as we set up
the
day.
Can't wait.
I know you're looking forward to it. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher at the VSiN Studios here at the South. By the way, can we just settle this really quickly? You and Berman are legitimately beefing about something that happened last year, and that was Melvin Gordon got a DUI. Not your fault. Berman's blaming you. It's going to be an issue.
He drafted him, and I said, look, I like Lindsey better than him, but he drafted him. He thought, he was the steerer of he was the captain of his team. I try to help him advise. We're not battling. It just goes with the flow.
Wait, not battling. He's writing paragraphs on the group chat right now.
He wants to get into the show. You know, it's his role. That's what he does really well. He stirs it up. He's the boat that goes through the wake zone. He's the boat that goes through the wake zone at 80 miles an hour, and then we're all left to deal with his waves. All left, and he goes back.
He's all gas, no brakes. That's Berman. Everybody knows it.
That's what we used to say about Al Davis. Al Davis would come storming through the building, create a row, everybody be rocking, and then the next thing you know, the next thing you know, we got to deal with it all.
You got to deal with the wreckage. Speaking of wreckage, I saw you continuing to clown Clowney. The Browns signed Clowney, Oppo, Miles Garrett. So
why?
You tell me.
I mean, why did you feel the need to give him $6.5 million of free money? Like, I don't understand it. Like, who was your competition for him? Like, who are you competing against? You know, I was talking to a team yesterday. We were talking about Adoree Jackson. I mean, think about this.
That was ridiculous.
If the Giants would have traded a seventh-round pick to Tennessee, which Tennessee offered him Adoree Jackson for basically nothing, they could have had him on a one-year contract at $10 million, right? Everybody turned down the Titans on a trade for it. They were giving Adoree Jackson away, even though they need corners. They were giving Adoree Jackson away. So they trade Adoree. No one will take him on the seventh if. Like, the seventh is that valuable to the New York Football Giants? So what do the Giants do? They turn around and give him $24 million for 2 years as opposed to paying him 10 for one. Like, seriously?
Right.
Guaranteed. Like, and so that's why, like, who's your competition? Like, who's making these decisions? Like, you're going to go ahead and give a Clowney, who hasn't played well, said one season of playing 16 games, doesn't love football. Let's be real clear. Doesn't love football, loves money, doesn't love football. It's got a degenerate knee that's not going to get better. It's got other ailments, can't stay durable, right? And hasn't really impacted a game in for a long, long time. And you give him 6.5 after he ripped off the Titans for 15 or 13 last year? Like, this guy's just printing money. Like, the guy that runs over the cap, he put it well. He said this is the defensive version of Sam Bradford. You don't have to play well. You just have to have perceived to be able to play well.
And Clowney was a Seahawk for a year. Aldon Smith, who had 5 sacks with the Cowboys last year, just signed with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, I think now this is a good – I thought there were times where Aldon Smith flashed with it. Now, look, it was rusty. It wasn't all there. And I'm sure this is an economic-friendly deal for Seattle, so it's probably very little – look – I would not have had a problem if Cleveland signed Clowney. I have a problem with the number attached to Clowney.
Right.
Okay. Why am I giving him money? Why am I giving him money when he hasn't proven he can stay on the field?
No, that's 100% fair. I'm with you now. I mean, I was obsessed with him, obviously, coming out of South Carolina. Let me ask you a question. We've got new draft props presented by BetMGM, and I'm going to throw one at you. Okay, so Kyle Pitts, as far as over-under draft position, 5.5, it's essentially 110 up and down. So I'm just going to throw that
I'm going under there.
Okay.
Let's talk about
it. Let's
throw
this.
The graphic. Let's discuss, okay? Let's throw the graphic up of who's picking where. Okay. All right, what I'm hearing right now. All right, so what I'm told is that that at 4, it's going to be Kyle Pitts. That's what people in the league think it's going to be, Kyle Pitts.
Really?
Mostly, I would say 98% of the league believe the 49ers are taking Mac Jones. And, for all the talk about Justin Fields having a great workout, there's people in the league that don't think it was a great workout. Now, maybe those are the people who aren't drafting a quarterback. I don't know. But let's leave Fields out of the conversation for a moment. So, Pitts it there. I'm told Jamar Chase is the pick for the Bengals at 5. Which then leaves the Dolphins at 6. And the Dolphins are talking all about skill players. They're not talking about an offensive lineman. They're not going to take Sewell at six. They're not going to take an offensive lineman. So that puts Sewell at seven. Would they take him there? Would it be the best offensive lineman Detroit's had in a long, long time? They should. I mean, Carolina will take him at eight. But Sewell's prop, I think, is at 6.5, right?
Sewell's prop right now. I'll give you that number on Penei Sewell, 6.5. The under is favored slightly at 140.
I'd go over there. I would take a shot on the over there.
Plus 110 to the over. Okay.
I don't think he's getting that. I think Chase under 6.5 is a good play. I think Devontae Smith under 11.5. I'm not sure who Miami likes, Waddle or Smith, right? I'm not sure who they like better there. I think Pitts under 5.5 is a better play there.
Wow.
That's kind of what I know right now.
This is great information. So let's just recap what we've got here. Essentially, Kyle Pitts, and when I tell you up and down, it's 110, so that's standard juice. 5.5. So you take a look at the draft order.
Sounds like Atlanta is all over him.
Wow. And they just traded for Hayden Hurst as well, by the way, last year.
Right. But if you remember, if you go back and look at some of Arthur Smith's offense, there was a lot of two tight end stuff in there. And look, you can use two tight ends. You're going to be in 12 personnel more than you're going to be in 21. And ultimately, with Pitts' uniqueness, I mean, it's going to create a lot of mismatch problems for everybody. But they love Pitts. And Pitts is a safe player. Look, I think the two safest picks in this draft, besides Trevor Lawrence, are Sewell and Pitts. Why are they slipping? I don't know. Cincinnati's lost their mind if they take the receiver. They really have. That's what they're leaning to.
Let's throw up the draft order and clarify. So when we say 5.5 for Pitts, you see the order there, meaning he has to go Bengals or below for you to win your bet if you say under, like Michael Lombardi's telling you. If he goes to the Dolphins at six and you say under, you're going to lose your bet there. So you understand 5.5 is right between the Bengals and Dolphins. Underneath that, you say under, you win your bet. Over, you lose. Now, Pitts. Four to the Falcons, the Bengals. This is where it gets interesting because Penei Sewell is 6.5. I have a hard time understanding why they don't want to protect their asset. Again, 6.5. This is very interesting with Michael. He's telling you to go over +110 juice. So 7 or beyond for Penei Sewell. Go ahead. Why would they not want to protect the quarterback?
Because I think they feel like they lost AJ Green. They need a number one receiver. And this kid is a number one X receiver, and you've got a head coach who's an offensive coordinator who doesn't value offensive linemen, has never been a part of building a team. And so this kid's 19 years old, Sewell. This is one of the best players in the draft. You're going to get a Pro Bowl left tackle. You know, and if he makes it to 7, I would think if he makes it to 7, I'm New England. If I was a New England drafter, I might be screaming for us to go up and go get him. Screaming. If he makes it to 7 and Minnesota's not trying to trade up, they have no left tackle, right? The Chargers, he makes it to 7. They don't have a left tackle. They're going up to go get him. The Eagles don't want a left tackle. They've got two guys. They got Dillard coming back, and they've got the other kid that they played there last year. So, and then they have Lane Johnson at right tackle, so they feel like they're tackle rich. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. The Giants would love to get Sewell. I mean, are you kidding me? They could put him at right tackle or put the other kid at right tackle, Thomas. I mean, that's where a lot of the Broncos, they could put him at right tackle. I know they re-signed Bowles to a huge deal. The Panthers would turn the card in immediately because those teams picking 4, 5, and 6 for some reason are delusional with these skill players. If I was Atlanta, I'd take him at 4. I'd take him at 4.
I mean,
Ryan's been sacked 120 times over the last three seasons. He's been sacked 120 times over the last three seasons. So you're just going to ignore that? But we are now in an age in the NFL where nobody really cares about offensive linemen. They think, we can do it without the skill. We need skill. We need more skill. We need more juice. Okay, good. Nobody watches Super Bowl, but we need more juice.
Oh, you just nailed it. And Steph, you just yelled out Cincinnati as well. You just nailed it. The difference with Tampa Bay this year was the offensive line play. The Falcons' offensive line was and defensive line play. You build in the trenches. It's not sexy, but that's where it gets it done. Can I just explain quickly on Penei Sewell? Because Michael's saying you can find a little value at 6.5 or above. So again, if you bet over, if you get to the Lions at 7 and Sewell hasn't been drafted, you're going to cash the +1 ticket. Okay, so that will hopefully that makes sense to you to the bettors that are trying to get involved in the draft market. I maybe think teams that have graded Slater, the offensive tackle from Northwestern, the same, but you certainly don't.
No, I don't think they have. I think Slater's in that I think you could see him going to San Diego, or I think in that category there. I think that's more where I think his market would be, in that teens number, the Giants, you know. I think that's where that would go.
San Diego would be thrilled if that offensive tackle got to them at what? Where are they, 12?
Right. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I mean, Carolina needs an offensive tackle. I mean, if I was Carolina, I would tell Miami, look, let me go up and get him. You know, you whatever receiver you want at 6, you're going to get at 8. And I think that could happen. I think that's the only thing that makes me worried about the Sewell over 6.5 is because if they take Chase in front of Miami, Miami's smart enough to know that they could trade back and get one of those Alabama receivers. They could trade with Detroit. They could trade with Carolina, you know, and they could still get them there.
Okay, let me ask you about this one. Justin Fields' number is set at 4.5. The over is favored. So it's favored that Fields goes 5 or higher, okay? Fields is set at 4.5. 5 or higher is favored. What do you got?
I go over that.
Okay, so you're going to go with 140. Mixed. Gotcha.
Yeah, I hear so much mixed on Fields. Not off the field, on the field, throwing. Someone told me the other day that they just don't like his mechanics of throwing the football. You know, I'm just reporting it. Don't shoot the messenger, right? I'm just saying this. I don't get the sense that anybody in the top 5 is in love with Fields. I don't get that sense at all. I think Lance, they're more in love with.
Lance's number, by the way, is set at 6.5. So we'll take a look at Trey Lance.
I would go over on Lance only because and the number set that way only because I think that if he made it to Carolina at 8, I think Washington would come get him.
Okay. The way to remember, if you just want to simplify it, Lance's number is set at 6.5. The over is -125. If you get to the draft and you bet over on Lance and you get to the Lions, you've won your bet if he hasn't been picked. Now,
right.
So you're telling me, your circles are telling you, Lance loved more right now by the analysts as opposed to Fields.
I think so. I think, you know, when you polled all the people you talk to, you know, I think there's some people picking, like I said, I think there's people like the Broncos, from the Broncos to the Cardinals in that cluster. Forget the names of the team. I think they feel like if you're picking somewhere in there, one of those quarterbacks is going to make it to you.
I'm going to give you an updated number just so you, because Michael's been all over Mac Jones to the 49ers. I want to give you an updated number on just him going 2nd overall in the draft. Wow. Did they take it down? Steph, they may have taken it down. Looks like they did over at BetMGM. I got it. Pardon me. So on Monday, it was -300. It's come down a little bit. It's -225, but that's still prohibitive.
Went back up. It was when you were on Wednesday, it was 200.
And okay, now it's gone back up to 225. Gotcha.
Right. Gotcha. And there's been no really, I mean, you know, and I know Kyle Shanahan took a picture with just – I just don't get the sense that that's the right fit. If it's anybody, I think it's Trey Lance. It's not Justin Fields other than Mac Jones. I still think it's Mac Jones at San Francisco. I would think it's more Trey Lance than it is Justin Fields. Justin Fields has the Buckeye next to him, but I'm not sure there's that much of consensus on him. Again, we're talking as a player. And let me be very clear here. Players don't rise and fall. I wrote this, it'll come out tomorrow for The Athletic. Players don't rise and fall. Perceptions are what drives this, right? There's no way a player falls. He's either graded rightly or he's graded wrongly. But they don't rise and fall because each team does it themselves. Like, there isn't like, oh, the guy had a bad workout. He's really falling. No, he was probably lower than you thought he was. You're just now thinking he's falling. So this whole rise and fall is really just a crock.
Yeah. Wow. So Mac, I think so much is made. You said perception. I thought the tag in the Clowney tweet was perception, which is, you know, the perception of, and I saw people, the perception of Shanahan being at the Fields workout immediately started betting on. No, he's going to show up. That's due diligence.
Yeah, he's got to. And look, I do think there's some parts of his organization, you know, whether it's John Lynch, who doesn't really – he doesn't really – he can't – he's not going to move the needle. John Lynch, I know people think he's the general manager, but he's not the – he's not moving the player personnel decisions. In fact, you know, I was talking to somebody that when they were going through Salai's interview and they were talking, it's, you know, Salai just talked all about what Kyle did in personnel. You know,
right.
That's who runs the team. Let's just get that clear. So, but I do think Lynch has to manage the building. And I think part of managing the building is to let people know that they're involved and there's a collaborative effort. And so that's why I think they went back to see Justin Fields and they went back to see Trey Lance, because there's probably some area scouts and some personnel people that think Lance is the good pick.
We got to get some of those Shanahan flat-brimmed hats with Lombardi line on it so we look like skateboarders. You know how he wears the hat with the flat
brim? Yeah, those are really big hats, yeah. We got to get some of those.
We got to get some of those lids. 7 runs scored, bottom second in Pittsburgh. We're going to go over that 7.5. We're happy about it. That's making sense of a baseball bet. When we come back, we're going to make sense. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to go through Light Night in the Association. We're going to go through the 4 games and somehow make sense of those 4 in a weird betting night in the NBA. We continue. Make it make sense, Lombardi line. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have some fun with it.
We can't make the NBA make sense.
I know that's the irony here. It's
how
wild.
Do we even do that?
Well, here, I'll start with this one. Okay, we'll go Milwaukee and Atlanta. So Milwaukee opened 4.5. Bet down to 4. Some books still have it at 4.5. But let's just go ahead and walk through this for the better and understand. So after a 3-game losing streak, the Bucks have won 2 straight, although against Orlando and Minnesota. Giannis' status is up in the air. He hasn't played since the beginning of the month. As you remember, he dropped 47 on Portland. The Bucks have gone 3-3 without him. Milwaukee, though, just 5-10 ATS their last 15 games. Now to Atlanta to try to make this make sense, Michael. They've won 7 of 8 games. They were without Trae Young and Gallinari, your boy, but were still able to beat Toronto 108-103 last time out. So that's the information. The Hawks getting 4 at home. What do you do? Potentially no Giannis.
I think you take the Hawks to get an important win at home. I mean, look, the one thing about the Bucks offense, without Giannis, they've scored 130, 124, and 118 in the right. last 3 outings without the 2-time MVP. So they have a talented offense, and whether they can score, I think the concern I have about Atlanta here is, will Trae Young play? I mean, I think that's really what we're most concerned about. Gallinari, if he's back and Young's back to go along with Bogdanovich and the way they scored, he's at 21 in 4 of those last 5 games, including he had 32 against the Hornets the other night. So, I mean, this could be, as we see by the posted total here at 230, this could be a high-scoring game where both offenses. I do think, though, Giannis will be on some form of minute restriction.
Oh, 100%.
He would have to be, right?
100%. And let me be very clear. It's possible Giannis plays tonight. It's possible Trae Young plays tonight. But if Giannis plays, it's the first time in a while. It's the first time in, what, 6 games? He'll be on a minute restriction. I just am surprised. Again, if I'm in a position like this where I have no clue, I'm taking the Hawks and the points. The next one on the board, Michael. So Cleveland goes to Charlotte last night, wins straight up as a dog. They come back home and they're going to host the Golden State Warriors. Steph has been ridiculous. His last 3, 42 points, 53 points, and 38 points, where he's going nuts. 3-point range, he's been ridiculous. The Golden State Warriors opened 8. Cleveland getting bet here. Golden State's laying 6.5 at Cleveland.
Why do you think Cleveland's, I mean, what's the reason for the line movement?
You
here?
Tell me. Because Warriors picked
know.
Up a dominant win, 147-109 last time out against Oklahoma City. It's Oklahoma City, okay, but it's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, over the games, the Cavaliers have played like they play like the 20th fast pace in the NBA, and they control tempo. So I'm leaning more towards the 224.5 to go under than anything.
Okay. I don't hate that at all. I mean, maybe it's because Cleveland, one thing they do is defensively, they're pretty good against a three-point shot, and Steph Curry, you know, dropping 42 again. I mean, he's been ridiculous. And like we said earlier, the motivation for Steph right now is that scoring title. It does seem, I think the line seems to be set a little high as far as the total's concerned, 100%. So we'll go under the 224.5. Two slower paced teams. 224.5 will go under that. The next one on the board, Michael, let's make it make sense. The Celtics are at the Lakers. The Celtics open 5.5. They've been bet up to 6.
Yeah, I mean, look, you could see that. The Celtics, you know, with their win in Utah, right? I mean, they have played well with their dominating win in Portland last time they played. We know no Anthony Davis, and it looks like Gasol and Morris are also going to miss this one too. They'll get Drummond back. You know, maybe they'll get Drummond back if he can come back off of the – so, look, I think it's really been – you know, I mean, Tatum has been unbelievable. He scored 32. And I just think they're in a good spot. Boston's in a good spot. I think that's why that number's moving away from the Lakers.
But
look,
agree.
The one thing the Lakers do is they play tough defense. I do think the under could be a little bit in play here.
You know, you mentioned Boston. I take the 5.5, but we'll bet the 6. They've won 4 in a row, 6 of 7. And I'll tell you who's on a heater right now, and that's Tatum, who has been tremendous. Now, it's a team, the Celtics, who have struggled this season as road favorites, 5-10 straight up, 4-11 ATS. But this is a team looking to make a point. Favorable spot for the Celtics. They're playing well in April. They're 6-1 straight up, and they get the Lakers team that is wildly unpredictable right now. If I force you to pick a side here, not a total, you go Celtics, lay the 6?
I'm probably going to take the Lakers just because I think my instincts – I think we should call a segment in the NBA George Opposite. You know, instead of ordering the tuna sandwich, you order the salmon or the chicken salad. You know, I think we should – whatever your instincts are in the NBA, go the other way.
You just go opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
The tuna swims with the – you know, like that. The salmon goes against it. There we go.
Maybe that'll be a gross play from Josh Applebaum with his Celtics. We'll find
out. Oh, I'm sure he's got a few. We got some sunshine coming in our lives.
We got Andy McNeil next, though. Talk
Wait,
a little hockey.
Hockey. God, Got let's talk this hockey out.
Here we come. Michael's favorite sport next here at Lombardi Line. Action just getting started. VSiN experts are covering everything. NHL, NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at the draft. Michael Lombardi's got you covered there. Complete data analysis at VSiN.com. Daily members only best bet emails, which are very important. Start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's free right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. Andy McNeil, our buddy Sunshine, VSiN NHL expert, joins us now. You know, I was watching the Golden Knights last night. Andy, as we say, welcome. Nice to see you. I was watching, and I thought to myself, I want to ask Andy this tomorrow. 7-game series right now, Colorado, VGK. Who you got? Because both teams on a heater, obviously, in the West. But, man, I was watching VGK. They were just relentless. Who would you take right now, 7-game series with Colorado and Vegas?
On neutral ice, I think you're looking at the Colorado Avalanche being small favorites. I don't think they should be a sizable favorite against this Vegas Golden Knights team. I haven't, calculated the underlying math for this series, but I would guess somewhere around -130 at the most as far as a series price for the Colorado Avalanche on neutral ice. So a little more if they do in fact have home ice.
How about let's talk about the Flyers and the Penguins. The Penguins are returning. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They get home after playing 6 consecutive road games, and the Flyers are coming off another disappointing 6-1 loss for the Capitals. And we know the Flyers are tearing it down. So where do you handicap this game as we see, you know, the Penguins are hot and the Flyers are extremely cold?
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday, and just in terms of how do you handicap a team's motivation. And this Flyers team is one that, you know, is probably not going to make the playoffs, but that hasn't deterred me from betting them earlier today at plus 150. I still like the Flyers at plus 145. I think that is a price that you can find if you do some shopping around. I know that the consensus price is plus 140, but with Tristan Jarry in goal and still no Evgeny Malkin, I like the Flyers today at an underdog price. I don't think this Penguins team is so formidable that you should pass on this price with this Flyers team, who is desperate for a win and to regain some confidence here.
Okay, late night, Andy. Columbus, you like the Blue Jackets over the Stars. I'll give you a price. Looks like it opened 191, but Columbus getting bet 175-ish, somewhere in that range. Coming back the other way with Columbus and Dallas. We'll throw up the number. There you see it, Andy. Blue Jackets, you get a good price here, plus 155, the Stars laying 175.
Yeah, and I think this is a little bit more reasonable, although I do think there's still quite a bit of value here in the Blue Jackets. I make this game closer to minus 145 in favor of the Dallas Stars. And you know, a lot has gone right for this as this bet that I made earlier today at plus 170. It's Jake Ottinger tonight, not Anton Khudobin, in goal for the Dallas Stars. So there's a downgrade in goal for that team. And it's Elvis Merzlikin in goal for the Columbus Blue Jackets. So those are the two things that I was looking for, and they've, you know, come to fruition. It's another thing. It's you know, that resembles the same situation that I'm dealing with the Philadelphia Flyers. I think that, you know, despite the lack of motivation that these teams might have, these prices are getting pretty outrageous. You know, especially against the opponents that they're playing today.
I got to ask you, my man. You know, I know those were your three picks, and I know now we go off the track a little bit. But you know, the team that interests me the most, the Blackhawks, are coming into this game against the basically, who are they? Oh, they're playing the
Red
Patrick's
Wings.
Red Wings. I apologize.
Thank you.
I got messed up there. They're coming
Very
into this
easy
game.
To
They're
forget.
Red hot. They've won three of the last four. My man Patrick Kane's been dominated. Alex DeBrincat has been unbelievable carrying the team. Between the two of them, they have 95 points on the season. So talk to me a little bit about why the Blackhawks might be a good play tonight.
Well, I think the main thing that people want to wait for here is whether it's going to be Jonathan Bernier or Thomas Greiss in goal for the Red Wings. I think there's a big difference between those two goaltenders. And if it's Jonathan Bernier, I don't quite like the Blackhawks. But if it is Thomas Greiss, I think the Blackhawks are the play for sure, because Kevin Lankinen is in goal. And that you know, should be the catalyst here behind any Chicago Blackhawks play, as Malcolm Subban really isn't up to the task. But yes, at minus 160, assuming it's Thomas Greiss, I would like the Blackhawks at that number for sure.
Okay, Andy, we mentioned Toronto, who had started to become completely overvalued because they had won so many in a row, lost their last two. Winnipeg in town. You like the Jets in this matchup. You're getting plus 125 here in Toronto.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this one up, and you know, hopefully I can kind of encapsulate a little bit of what, you know, the value is listening to, or what value you can get from listening to VSiN all day long. Earlier today on a numbers game, we talked about this game, and as I was on the air with Gil, it was, you know, beginning to be reported that Auston Matthews, the Leafs, you know, star forward, wasn't in the practice line rushes, and then it came out a little while later that he wouldn't be in tonight's game. So I just wanted to, you know, bring this game up as a little more of a buyer's beware situation, as this line on the Winnipeg Jets has come all the way down from plus 160 at some shops all the way down here to, you know, plus 125. So the value is gone. Great play if you tailed earlier this morning and got on that, but at this point you're chasing the steam, and the value has been definitely bet out of this game for sure.
How about, oh my gosh, I just saw the price with Buffalo in town at Washington. Maybe you could let the better know your philosophy on a 350 favorite. Probably stay away all the time, every time, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I've bet big prices like that in the past, but this would not be a situation where I would do so. This Capitals team, you know, despite their offensive abilities, they're still pretty shaky on defense, and goaltending has been an issue for them this season. So I would certainly not lay that price with the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, 330 right now on the board. The Sabres coming back the other way, plus 270. All right, so there you have it. Blue Jackets, the Jets, and the Flyers. That's the three-pack from Andy McNeil, digital gambler on Twitter. Enjoy the hockey, Andy. Thank you very much.
All right, good luck today, guys.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, appreciate you, Andy.
There he goes, our buddy Andy.
I wonder about the Sabres. You know, the guy that owns the Bills also owns the Sabres. I wonder if he's going to keep tolerating this 10-25-7 record. I wonder what changes are coming there in that building. I know it's, if they were the football team, he wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's been a disaster. Although they are 9-1 ATS their last 10. They did fire their coach, but that – it's been a disaster. There's no other way around it for the Sabres. And we appreciate Andy. So, again, let me just reiterate his three plays. Blue Jackets, Jets, and Flyers. You're getting a price on all three. When we come back, I think we got a gross play from your buddy Josh Applebaum.
Yeah, of course
he's going
to
join us.
I'll figure it out before he comes on. Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Look at the board and figure it out. We'll come back with your guests. We're coming back with Josh Applebaum next year on the Lombardi Line. Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100. It's paid for in free bets when somebody goes yard. Sign up for BetMGM. Use the bonus code VEASAN100. The Dodgers, Rockies, anybody hits a home run tonight, use that code. You're going to win $100. Must be 21 years or older. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Virginia only. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, and Tennessee color text redline 800-889-9789. Okay, Michael Lombardi, of course, Josh Applebaum, Market Insights is the podcast an hour and 45 minutes ago. You go to vsin.com/podcast. Let's have a little fun with it as we say hi to Josh. Michael has combed the board. He's looking for the hazmat, the gross play. The floor is yours, Michael.
Well, it's either going to be the Cavaliers. That's going to be one of his plays in major in the NBA. It's either the Cavaliers, the line movement in the Suns game doesn't indicate it. The Cavaliers, they opened up at -8. It's down to 6.5. You know, so the line's moving to the Cavs here. So that's why I think he likes them. In Major League Baseball, it's always a little harder to predict since some of the games have started. But I would say just looking at the board, he likes Oakland a little bit tonight. But that's just a guess.
Josh?
Ooh, Michael. So, ding, 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 ding. Let's start with the NBA. You hit the nail on the head, Michael, with the Cavs. And I want to say thanks to Steph here for this new graphic that she's
put
together.
Let's throw it up. Let's go ahead. You got to get it up there. Yeah. Michelle did a great job with this. Josh's grossest play of the day is, indeed, the Cavaliers plus 6.5. Michael nailed it.
So, Michael nailed it exactly. And I don't know if I'm Walter White or Jesse Pinkman here from Breaking Bad, but I love this graphic here. But, guys, you are totally right. Michael, what intrigues me here, number one, as you mentioned, this going to the Cavs. You look at the Warriors. They absolutely destroyed OKC yesterday, 147-109, easily covered the minus 12. But Cleveland, they're getting a little bit healthier. They're coming off a win here. They beat Charlotte 103-90. And I think the factor that you like about this one is kind of the fact that both these teams are on the second leg of a back-to-back. And I don't know if this line movement has anything to do with Steph Curry resting or anybody being out, but it looks like, you know, the Warriors, they open as around an 8-point favorite. Some books were as high as like 9 or even 9.5, and it's been steamed all the way down to 6.5. So I think that's meaningful for a couple of reasons. Number one, Patrick, you know, we talk a lot about second leg of a back-to-back, but there's a specific system that I really like. On the second leg of a back-to-back, when the line moves toward a team, it's been really good this year. 47-30 ATS, 61%. That would match with the Cavs here. And then also, when both teams are on the second leg of a back-to-back, if you just go the way the direction the line is moving, it could be to the fave dog, doesn't matter. But both back-to-back, the team with the line move is 27-10, 73% ATS. So you do have Cleveland. You know, as a home dog, six or more, they've been pretty good, 9-6 ATS. You got to wait on Colin Sexton, star point guard. He's questionable. You obviously want him in. But they did get Garland back. They got Jared Allen, their big man, back. So this one just stinks to me, guys. Everyone's betting Steph Curry and the Warriors off a million-point win yesterday. Yet, on this back-to-back Cleveland at home, the line's moving in their favor. So, Michael, what do you think? What's going on here? Is this, you know, the Sharps have an edge here on Cleveland, or do you not agree with this move?
I think the Sharps have readily admitted that they put the white flag in there, that they don't have an edge in any NBA game. I think that they've found it. I think if it's the Alamo over where Vinny is right now as he munches on his peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I just don't think anybody has an edge. You know, I don't think anybody has an edge. And I think line movement is not indicative. What was the other game? Will Hill and I were talking about. There was line movement in one game, and of course it didn't work out, you know. And so I'm not sure line movement's indicative of anything, because it's moving because of perception of who's going to play, who's not going to play. But then if they do play or don't play, it does mess it up.
Well, we should, and we'll get to another gross play from Josh Applebaum here. We should start with discussing Michael's favorite sport, and that, of course, is baseball and the Dogs. The Dogs went 11-3 yesterday, Josh, 10-6 on Tuesday, so 21-9 runs, 70% clip over the last 2 days.
Yeah, this has been incredible, guys, and I think it has to do with Michael Lombardi sweating baseball every day. He's given good vibes to the Dogs right now. But happy Jackie Robinson Day, by the way, guys, and Jackie Robinson, the ultimate underdog here, and I think that's what you're seeing so far in Major League Baseball. And this illustrates a point how baseball is different, and Michael has illustrated this very well. It's a grinder sport. It's high volume. You got to be very thick-skinned because there's a lot of games every day, and we do know Dogs, 85-88 this year, but here's the key. They're only hitting 49%, but $100 guy betting every dog is up 26 units. So $100 better is up $2,600 because of these plus money payouts. So Dogs on this just crazy bender right now. Last 2 days, you mentioned, Patrick, 21-9. But I like to layer on more things. So we look at Dogs with a line move in their favor. They're up 11 units. What I call a sweet spot dog, plus 140 or less, 59% right now, plus 23 units. Dogs off a win. Patrick, your Detroit Tigers
Thank
were
you.
The ultimate example of Dogs off a win, buying low in gambler's fallacy,
Thank
saying, you know, Houston's better. You know, they can't keep winning, but they can. This is the craziness of baseball where, again, you know, you expect these dogs to get taken behind the woodshed, but it's such a long season. If you kind of grind these dog plus money payouts, you can win at a sub 50% clip, but still turn a profit. So Michael, you were right halfway with my gross MLB plays. I do like, and this is kind of hypocritical. I just told you all about all these dogs. I do like Oakland here. There is an edge toward the A's, where they're off a day off, and you do see Fabe's day off. Tigers, who just went through a series, they use a lot of their bullpen here. The A's have had a move. But my gross play is the under in this game. I'll tell you guys why. It's gross because you look at the starting pitchers. Tarik Skubal has got a 7.71 ERA. Sean Manaea has got a 5.06 ERA. So you look at this and say, give me the over 8.5. It's got to go over easily with two high ERA pitchers. But here's where it gets good. Unders this year are 52%. But when the under is when the total is 8.5 or higher, the under is 57-44, 56%, and both of these teams have not hit very well. Oakland's hitting .211. That's 26th in Major League Baseball out of 30 teams. Detroit hitting .221. So, Patrick, your Tigers are winning, but, you know, just in terms of getting base hits, they're 24th in Major League Baseball. So, Michael, what do you think? I know you woke up at 4 a.m. to do your research on this total here, but a little bit under money and a little bit A's movement.
Yeah, I mean, I like the under. I thought that that was the smart play. And let me just get my notes out here, because I want to make sure that I kind of cap this perfectly for you, because it's important as I shift through my notes.
Can I just say this about Josh quickly? Please, Michael, go.
Well, I just think the Tigers' offense has surprised a lot of people, including Patrick, so far in 2021, because they've hit the second most home runs in all of baseball. But I think with the A's pitching, every one of those home runs have been against right-handed pitchers. So they'll be facing a left-hander today, and that's why I think I liked your play. That's what I highlighted in my notes today. So, look, you know, I'm just trying to do the work that – Stephanie's over here laughing at my picks over here. This is getting embarrassing, Patrick.
No, it's not. It's the opposite of embarrassing. I'll tell you what is embarrassing is the Jets.
That was my logic.
I know, and I think it makes a ton of sense. Josh is taking notes. What is embarrassing?
For the record, Patrick, the Tigers are 9-48 against lefties this season.
They're
9-48 against lefties this year.
Yep. Last time I checked,
Manaea. That's why I like the under.
Yeah, 100%. And Josh, you may want to apologize to the audience because you're a gentle soul and you just talked about taking somebody behind the woodshed. What's gotten into you, Applebaum?
I know. It's just every now and again, you know, it comes out of nowhere, Patrick. I would mention too, Michael, great point, lefty righty. That's something that a lot of, a lot of cappers look at when they're breaking out a game. The other thing is the stadium. You know, you look at Oakland, this is a stadium that's notorious, you know, the old Raiders stadium. Huge foul ball territory, so every now and again you get a couple extra outs that would go in the stands in the other stadium, but with this foul territory and deep, you know, left, right, center outfield fences, that's something to keep an eye out for. And then the juice, you know, it's not going to be predictive every single time, but it lets you know, Patrick, where that liability is. So the fact that, you know, you got two high ERA pitchers, a lot of the good data Michael mentioned, and yet everyone's hitting the over, but the books are juicing up the under. They're kind of, you know, asking you to pay a lower price to take the over, but they're paying making you pay a higher price to take the under, because that's where some of this bigger money's coming in. So that's why the hazmat play here, that under in the Oakland A's.
You all kind of sleep on Lombardi's righty-lefty splits take. I thought that was
They're
a sage. Listen,
got to pay attention. I mean, Sparky trained me. Sparky trained me, so I just go with what I know.
All of a sudden, Sparky Anderson in the mix. I'm sure, probably went to see a bunch of A's games at that dump.
I did. I did go see a bunch of A's. I worked at the Eagles when we were still in the vet. In 97. And so the Eagles, I worked for the Eagles, and the Phillies would play the afternoon games, you know, the 1 o'clock, and we'd been there working because the offices were in the vet. And I would just go out there and, you know, sit in the seats that nobody was sitting in, order a dog, watch an inning or two, and then come back in and start working again. I loved it.
You kept it a game up at Oakland at that Coliseum. It's a dump. There's so much territory.
Yeah, it's free, but here's what you have to understand. It's so cold. You can get up there, like when my kids played Little League Baseball in the Bay Area, and I would go to a game, and if it was in the secondary, what they called the fog area, you literally have to bring a winter jacket with you to go there. It gets cold. It gets really cold if you're in that fog zone, because it just is very challenging, and that's part of the problem with the Coliseum.
No flexing from Applebaum, 0-3 start for your Red Sox, and then Stephanie was talking about it, 9 straight wins, beat Berrios last night. Pretty wild, huh?
No, they've been on fire here, guys. Another play today, you know, it's, what is it? I think it's still nothing. But really, this would match with kind of that gambler's fallacy. Dog keeps winning. They got to lose at some point. But as long you take each game individually, I think that's the key here. The Sox have had that line movement in their favor. And surely their offense, they're hitting, I think they're either first or second with the Dodgers here in batting average. But, that'll be a situation, you know, nothing game here. But this is what we're getting at with dogs. They're doing great, but I don't think you can blindly take them all. Layer in more information. A line move toward a dog. With a high total, a dog off a win. These are all the things that if you add it up together, you feel more confident if you're getting down on these dogs right now.
Okay, Mr. Applebaum. Mr. Baseball, enjoy the day.
Thank you, Stephanie. Don't laugh at my baseball picks. That's not
no,
nice.
No, she's not.
You know, I saw you over there
she's
giggling.
She's angry that you think you are. She's gonna buy a cameo from you. Go to Cameo. Type in Michael Lombardi.
Bring a Groupon.
You can get it for $50
right now. Tomorrow we could type in Bill Berman on Cameo. We all should kind of sign up for a Bill Berman cameo.
$214 awesome. For a Berman cameo. It's a good deal.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'll see you guys tomorrow. There he is. Look at him.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See you later, Michael. See you later, Josh. The Nuts coming up next, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.